It's That Other Masonic Podcast. Here's Jared Adkins and Todd Whaley.
And welcome back to another episode of That Other Masonic Podcast. Brother Jared Adkins.
And I'm Brother Todd Whaley.
Coming to you from Bethlehem Lodge 574 in Bird's Eye, Indiana. Du Bois County. Dude, what a season so far.
So far, been awesome.
We've had a tremendous season. It's a tremendous season so far. We opened the season with the sitting Grand Master. Yeah, we've talked to a new lodge that just got their charter at Grand Lodge earlier this year. Circumpunked. Man, it's rolling along, and I like first times.
Yeah.
So we have another first time episode planned, but we have to go get our guests on the horn.
Yeah.
We don't have him, so we're gonna hit a pause for the cause. They'll never know we're gone.
Nope.
And we'll be right back. And we're back, and they never even knew we were gone. The magic of technology. So,
second.
As I was saying, I love when we get a chance to do first-time things on the show. So, we've kind of had a first-time thing, because we've had some guests from At Refreshment on.
Yeah.
But
we had Wes
and Brock. So, but we're doing this. We're doing kind of another first time thing. We're doing another mini collaboration.
Yeah, mini.
With you just go ahead and talk it. I know you're big on these guys.
I do.
Go ahead.
I do enjoy y'all's podcast. It is a.
It's Archer. It's
Matt. Hey, you got Matt with you, but you got half the team here.
Yeah, I got half the team. But it's a tie for fellowship, and I was turned on to you guys by My Freemason on TikTok.
Right.
I don't know his real name. I just know him by My Freemason. And he brought you guys up, and I was talking about our podcast. He goes, "Well, you got to check out Matt and Andy Tyler Fellowship." And I'm like, "I'll do that." And I really enjoy y'all's content. I think you guys are pretty plain spoken. You don't try to make it too complicated for anybody, and I really enjoy it. I really do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We've been having a lot of fun doing it now. We're about a year in, and fortunately or unfortunately, we do know My Freemason in real life, because he lives near us and is in a lodge in our district here in Wisconsin. So,
oh, I'm sorry for bringing him up.
No, we like him a lot. Okay. He does good stuff.
So, oh, yeah. Archer, if you would, for our listeners that might not know, even though we've mentioned Time for Fellowship a time or two in the past, go ahead and actually introduce yourself for our listeners, if you don't mind.
All right, so I go by Archer Mason on TikTok. Name's Matt. I am one of the co-hosts for Time for Fellowship with Matt and Andrew from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Been a Master Mason for about 6 years, and am currently Worshipful Master of Lake Lodge 189.
I would like to point out, too,
yes,
he has one of the most beautiful beards in Freemasonry. We always like to point out the good-looking beards and mustaches.
Yep.
Brother Archer's got one. I'd like to give him a plug there.
He does have a good one. I'm going to start this off right now. I know guys in the past, since we had a podcast there, I've had guys contact us saying, "Hey, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. Is that okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, you don't have to ask me. If you want to start a podcast, right, you go right ahead." And I was, all these guys, when I started seeing you guys pop up, and somebody asked me, "Well, isn't that competition for you?" I said,
"It's Freemasonry. There's no competition. It's Freemasonry."
I said, "I'm not in competition with these guys. The only person I compete with is myself." But I said, "If they're out there spreading the light of Masonry, hooray for us. We got more guys doing it. It means more people are going to hear about it." So what I basically want to ask, what made you and your buddy start up a podcast?
So I'm going to go back to the first part of what you said real quick, just to touch on that. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you. There is no such thing as competition in Masonic podcasting.
No,
and actually, one of the things that I've really come to enjoy about Masonic podcasts currently is the fact that there seems to be a lot of more locally based ones popping up where they talk a lot more about their state.
Right.
And I appreciate that as someone who listens to all of them, because it gives me a flavor of Masonry in that state, right?
Yeah.
And it gives us a common bond on what's going well in Masonry, what's not going well in Masonry, and it really helps us all connect with each other on a bigger level like that. So I really love the fact that all these podcasts are popping up and they're trying to be more locally based, mm-hmm, and, really reach out to the membership in their grand jurisdiction.
Right.
as far as what made me and Andrew get started is, oops, sorry, I got a police siren going off.
What are you doing?
Hey, well, you can hear train tracks. You can hear train tracks with us every once in a while.
Run, Archer, run.
Yeah, we're currently in house shopping mode to get more out of the city. So this is part of the reason why. But Andrew and I used to always have conversations at interesting conversations, or at least conversations we found interesting, at the pub, after stated meetings or after degrees or just on random nights out.
Parking lot masonry, like you always talk about. Parking lot masonry.
Yep. I love it.
Yep. So one day, you know, I just kind of said to him, I was like, hey, why don't we take these conversations and put a microphone in front of them and see if we can capture the same thing that we have here and kind of, you know, share that and share our stream of consciousness thoughts with other people.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
that was kind of the, you know,
that's kind of what the
origin story.
So Archer, here's the question. And, you know, we ask this, you know, every episode, this is usually the first question. So eventually maybe we'll get Andrew on, or maybe we'll get you guys together and we'll do like a legit official collaboration. For now we have you, and we appreciate you being on here. So I'm gonna go ahead and ask you the question. So how and why did you get involved in Freemasonry? He had the sirens. Now we got the train.
Now we got the train.
So that's I can hear it. Yep, there it is. So that's a less interesting story than I would like to admit, but it was something I was always kind of curious about. You know, you heard about it growing up, you saw it in movies here or there or whatever, and I was always kind of curious. And then I met a buddy of mine, and when his grandfather passed away, everybody in his family found out that he was a Freemason. So then him and I kind of started talking about it, but we had no clue where to get started, right? So fast forward, like, 5 years after that, I was working at a Harley Davidson dealership with...
That's a true Wisconsin man right there, working at Harley Davidson.
Right. Heck yeah.
Right. With like, I think he was 17, going on 18 at the time. Actually, he was coming up on his 18th birthday because he ended up going through the degrees with me. But he was always talking about DeMolay. And I was like, what the heck is this DeMolay thing that you're always talking about? And so he was like, oh, well, it's a youth group associated with Freemasonry. And I was like, well, how'd you get to be part of that? He goes, oh, my dad's a Freemason. And I was like, oh, well, I've always been curious about it. And apparently that was the right thing to say. So he called his dad, and then his dad and I started talking, and his dad and I are best friends to this day. And actually he's one of my really good hunting buddies, and he actually initiated me the same night as he initiated his son. So
that's awesome.
We've been, you know, that was my beginnings. I finally kind of found my way into something I had been curious about for a long time. Really had no clue why I was curious about it, but, you know, I've always said Masonry finds you in its own time and when you're ready for it.
Absolutely, yeah.
I like that.
That makes a lot of sense to me right there.
It finds you.
It found me when I needed it. I know that.
Well, you know, and that kind of speaks to what I was talking about. Like, you know, like I've said a million times, and I'll say it almost every other episode, it's that square compass and G, it's the coolest form of brand identification in the world. Yeah. It grabs you. And I remember seeing that logo all over my grandparents' house. And then as a little boy running in the kitchen, when dad and grandpa and my uncle are trying to study at lodge, and they're like, hey, get out of here, you know? And then when I finally, you know, I was 19, I waited a year.
Right.
But finally I was 19, I actually signed my petition. Grandpa gave me the petition. I asked him about it about a month before my mom passed. And then that was back when we were in the dark. We were in the dark in July and August.
Right.
But I asked Grandpa, so how do I go about joining the lodge? Because I didn't ask my dad. I wanted to ask my grandpa. And that's when he said the infamous line I'll never forget. He goes, you know how long I've been waiting on you to ask me this? And then he's and he magically had one. Like, it was waiting forever at the house. He magically had one.
Oh, yeah.
And there it was. So, yeah.
Hey, man, to be one, ask one was a great slogan, except for the fact that you needed to know one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so if you don't put yourself out there, as a Freemason, nobody's going to know to ask you.
But yeah, we you and I, Todd, you and I had the luxury of, you know, of being the children and the grandchildren of Masons, because I, even though, you know, you didn't move to Indiana until you were
13,
you're a teenager, but you, just like me, grew up in the lodge. You run, you were running around the fellowship hall.
I never did.
You weren't?
My dad was never, my family was never active in
the lodge. That's right. Your dad, you always said your dad was a dues payer.
My dad was a, he's a third shift worker at Chrysler auto plants, and he just never got active.
But see, I was always around it, though. I grew up running through the fellowship hall. Again, as I've said in countless episodes, this building we're sitting in now, this lodge, this new lodge was built 24 years ago. I was over here watching it being built. I was running around here. I was running around across town to the old lodge that is now just a, I don't even know what they're doing. It's a storage building or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but like I grew up in the fellowship halls, running around out there.
I always knew about Freemasonry. Dad always had his ring, and he had a lighter. Zippo was that on there, the belt buckle. And but for years, my dad didn't pay his dues because we'd had the money to pay for him. So, because, you know, lived in Missouri, not working all the time.
Right.
He got tight. But once Dad got back into it, you know, he'd always ask me, you know what that is? Like, no, that's a Masonic symbol. You need to, if you ever get trouble, find somebody who's got that and take care of it. Like, all right, cool. And I always kind of knew about it, and always in the back of my mind, I thought, well, I want to be so awesome. This is how conceited I was back. I want to be so great. I want to be the first person to ever be asked to be a Mason.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's how big my balls were back then. Yeah, I mean, I actually thought that to myself then, and now I look back thinking, I was such an idiot, but.
You know, before I found out how you got in, when my buddy and I found out about his grandfather, we had all sorts of crazy theories that we had heard about how you actually became one, right? Like, you had to be a family member of one, or you had to save one's life, or, you know, something like that, you know, along those lines.
I heard that one, too. You had to save somebody's life. I heard that, too. You gotta be a hero to be a Mason.
So if you're really to be a Mason, you take him on a bridge and almost throw him off.
Yeah, and then save him, and then you can be a Mason. Yeah.
Well, that's what me and my buddy joked about too. I was like, well, your grandpa was one, so you're in. Now we just gotta make it seem like I saved your life.
There you go. Just hang you off a bridge when no one's watching and pull you up.
So Matt, you know, Todd usually asks this question. I just cut him off. I'm gonna ask it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, a lot of times people get their third degree and they get the title as so many. I'm not saying Masons are clout chasers, but some organizations have people that, boy, you're making a lot of racket.
I know, you stole my question.
But anyways, that, you know, Archer's podcast doesn't have feedback like that. But anyways, you know, so many people get the title. They're able to wear the square and compass and you never see them again. They'll still pay their dues. I mean, they'll pay their dues every year, but but you never see them again. They don't ever come back. So for you, what was it that kept you coming back?
I felt like I had found a home, honestly. The brothers that I met going through my degrees and everything else, I had a very strong bond and connection with. And I felt like I was at home and somewhere I wanted to be and somewhere I was welcome to be and somewhere where I was valued. And that just kept me coming back. And it was someplace where I could share my struggles with, I could learn from other men. And I felt like that was very important to my life. And I'm really happy I did stick around and stay with it and create those bonds with those men.
Good answer.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I mean, I look at that. I look back when I first joined at 24 and everything, and you know, how big of a, I was a, you know, smart little 24-year-old, thought I knew everything. And those guys,
you still area. Kind of, never mind.
Well, now I know everything, but but those guys kind of, you know, say they kind of took me under the wing, and if I'd show up to a degree somewhere, they would make sure I had to take a part of it. I mean, there was no sitting on the sidelines with the guys in my lodge. Even if I didn't know the part, they'd volunteer me for it. Like, I appreciate that, I think. But yeah, I mean, it does give a guy a place to feel at home. I think you're right there. I mean, I never really thought about it, but I always have felt welcomed inside of Masonic Lodge. You know what I mean?
I mean, I feel right at home up here. I feel safe. Like,
well, yeah, but you grew up here.
Well, that's true.
You know, it's different for a guy who comes from one lodge and transfers into a lodge, but and still feel welcomed in it. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a different feeling.
Yeah.
You know, and I will say, well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, you know, that's part of finding the right lodge, though, too, right? Feeling at home there. Like, you can petition one lodge and then go, well, this isn't really what I was expecting out of the fraternity. Well, maybe you petitioned the wrong lodge. Yeah. There's another lodge in your area that has the culture and what you're looking for and where you would, you know, get along with everybody at a different level than you do at your current lodge or right. whatever. And I think we honestly have to look at that, and that harkens back to the whole no competition thing. Just like there's no competition between Masonic podcasts,
right.
there should be no competition between lodges for membership. It's about finding somebody a home where they're going to strive and grow as a person and help grow the lodge. And if they don't feel at home where they're at, that they're not going to get the same experience out of Freemasonry.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Well put. Well put.
Absolutely. But it's also up to, I always figure it's up to us also as a member to make everybody feel as welcome as they can be. I mean,
I would agree with
and
you.
If we see a guy yep. who's, you know, not having the same amount of joy as we have, we need to take him over to the side and say, listen, are you not enjoying this as much as we are? I mean, is there something we could do, or maybe we could help you? Maybe this lodge isn't right
what's
for
that,
you.
What's that famous, I always say you've got famous lines on the show, but what's the famous one you always say about the most important meeting to a Master Mason, a new Master Mason?
Yeah, the most important meeting a Mason can ever attend is his fourth meeting.
Is that after his
The first degree. Meeting after his Master Mason degree.
Because that sets the tone of whether he comes back or not.
He comes back or not. If we're having arguments about paying the bills, if we just pay the bills and talk about finances and leave.
I got hoodwinked.
We all did.
No. I got hoodwinked because my very first stated meeting was literally almost a week after I took my Master Mason degree.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a guest speaker. We had a big fat meal. We had a guest speaker. And I was like, oh, I could get used to this.
Oh, yeah.
Nope, it's not that way. Some meetings there's crackers and cheese. Some meetings there's crackers and cheese. Some meetings there's nothing. And some meetings it's just literally, let's sit here and talk about the bill. Oh, no. I thought, oh, this will be great. We had a nice speaker, was doing a presentation about the Masonic Home Foundation.
Right.
We had a nice big meal. We had a big old pot of jambalaya and cornbread. It was early March, so it was still kind of cool outside, that warm jambalaya. I'm like, oh, man, I can get into this. Went back to that April meeting. It was not at all the same. Nope.
Yep.
Hoodwink.
And I would agree that first meeting after the Master Mason is a make or break.
Yep.
But I also think there's a lot of steps that go up to it prior to that, right? Like how involved are you keeping your entered apprentices and your fellow crafts? Are you making sure that they're attending social events that your lodge is doing, you know, before they become a Master Mason? Are you going over their posting work with them? Are you setting the expectation for what your lodge is like early on so they can kind of start understanding that, like, okay, well, this stated meeting might not be all fun and exciting, but we have all this other stuff that we do that's fun and exciting. Or we go out to the pub afterwards, or we do a nice meal beforehand, or this kind of stuff. And I think you can start setting that kind of expectation and bringing them into the fold even before they are a Master.
Well, we've done that in a little bit of a way. There's been times where we've opened our stated meetings on the Entered Apprentice or the Fellow Craft degree just to keep some of those – you know, those newer brothers, you know, involved. Yeah. And it's like, hey, you can't vote on nothing, but I tell you what, come to our stated meeting. We'll open on the fellow craft degree because you're a fellow craft or an entered apprentice, and we do the business meetings that way. You can be here. You just can't vote.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can't really have
and
to
I
say,
wish,
but
I wish we could do that. We can only conduct business on the Master Mason degree.
Yeah, we used to be that way in Indiana, and
they changed it.
They changed it as a way to help retain members and keep them involved like that. I think it's a great thing. Cause it's just business. I mean, as long as you're open and the Bible's open, what's it matter what degree it's open on?
Right. What I have been doing this year when the opportunity has presented itself, like if I've had an editor apprentice or a fellow craft doing their posting work that night, and the education we have for that night is entered apprentice or fellow craft appropriate.
Right.
I will open in Master Mason, right? Call down to whatever degree we need to call down to do the posting work. And then I'll keep them in the room for education. And then I'll kick them out and we'll go back up.
See,
to
now that's
Master
a wonderful, That is a wonderful idea, Archer. I absolutely would get behind and support something like that.
That would be a good idea. Yep. So I forgot.
I didn't even think about that. That was
we don't call down degrees in our lives.
No, but man, you talk about
ease maybe. But
all right, hey, come up here. We're opening on the Master Mason degree like normal. I know you're a fellow craft, but we got some Masonic education eye on the fellow craft degree. We want you to be here. We get to that point, we bring them in, then we're like, all right, sorry, now we've got to leave, or we just keep them in there and we close on the fellow craft degree, either one.
You have to close the Master Mason.
Oh, that's true. We would. Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah,
there is a certain way you can call down degrees. Some states do it that way, but Indiana doesn't.
Every jurisdiction is different. Yeah. Like our Lodge of Sorrows.
Yeah,
we open it on installation night in January, and we close it on installation night in January the previous year. Yeah, so that way we don't have to keep opening and closing the lodge and swinging by here before we go to the funeral home, which is 30 minutes away from the lodge.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah, we do that. So every year, January, elections are in November, and then in January we do installation. So, I was raised on Leap Day, February 29th of 2008. And it's been that way ever since I've been a member of this lodge, and that's been 16, 17, many years now.
Most of your Indian lodges will close it in January, or actually close it in November or December, but most of they close it and they basically reopen it for the previous year.
Because there was a lot of lodges that were complaining, especially ones that live further away from the funeral homes. So we just decided that, this was decided before I joined in. I don't know when they made this change, but so the Lodge of Sorrows for the previous year is closed, and then the new one is open. That way we don't ever have to. Yeah, that's a neat little concept.
Mm-hmm. That's a very practical way of doing it. I like that.
Are you guys able to do something like that in Wisconsin? Archer sounds like we just gave him an idea.
Yeah. Hey, Grandmaster.
Yeah. See, now, I don't know. I'd have to go digging into the Wisconsin Masonic Code a little bit to see what the practicality of that was, because we can open a Lodge of Sorrow at the funeral home. Okay. Like, we can go off into our private room and just do a quick little Lodge of Sorrow open thing and then go do the funeral. So it's not really as much of an inconvenience for us to have to, it's not like we have to go to the lodge building to do it. So
yeah, we actually had to do it in our lodge. And back in the old days, they had to come to the lodge, open the Lodge of Sorrow, then go to the funeral
home. There's three funeral homes in the county, and they're all within like a 20-minute drive, which is just for a lot of brothers that are spread out. It's like, I got to go up to the lodge and do this, then go to the funeral home, then go back to it. So they made a change way before I came in 07, 08. And they're like, we're just going to do it this way because it's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And
that makes sense.
Yeah. All right, so Archer, let's talk a little bit about ritual, because that's one thing we always like to do when we talk to brothers from other states. Let's talk a little bit about Wisconsin ritual. I mean, I know it's different a little bit everywhere, but like, what kind of things do you guys do with ritual that we might not? Which I guess we'd have to tell him the way we do things first. I didn't think about that. But.
Let's ask this question. What's your favorite part of the ritual to do?
Archer seems like a stare lecture guy.
No, actually, as soon as I'm out of the East, that is the first thing I want to tackle learning.
I made two pages of it, and I can't. It's just so much circuit overload, man.
Oh, yeah.
That is one of the big ones on my list to learn. Right now, my favorite, early on in my Masonic career, my favorite part to do was the charges. I loved doing the charges. I started doing those as a junior steward.
Oh, wow.
And, I've absolutely loved doing the charges since then. And as I've done more things in Masonry, I would say I just love conferring degrees. Any one of them, I absolutely enjoy conferring degrees.
From the East.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. I love doing the EA degree. That's my favorite degree to do right there.
You know what my favorite thing to do is?
Sit on sidelines and gripe.
Nice.
I forget.
What do I always do in ritual?
You want to do the work lecture.
I do the crossfire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing.
See, not every state does that there in degree work.
See, and that's what baffles me. That should be a thing in all 50 states. That should be...
Archer, do you guys do the work lecture, like the question answers after your degrees? over there?
We do the, so that would be our posting work. So like, after you've studied with a candidate long enough, then yeah, your examination in open lodge is questions and answers to start with.
But yeah. you don't do it like during the degree work, like have two brothers rehearse it for the newly obligated brother?
Nope.
Okay. We do that.
The worshipful master teaches it to them, you know, but obviously they're probably not going to remember it. Right. So,
yeah.
So then as you go through the posting work, it's the senior deacon and the worshipful that would go through those questions and the answers with like the senior deacon answering for the candidate.
Right.
Type of deal. And then, yeah. And then afterwards they do it in their examination, whenever that may be.
I like how he calls it posting work. I'm stealing that. Going forward, our lodge will refer to this as posting work.
We'll see if it sticks.
I am the master this year. I'm gonna pass that memo along at our October stated meeting.
All right.
It's called posting work.
You have that
work.
Authority.
I have that authority, Todd.
Hit the gavel.
For a short little time yet, right? Yeah. I mean, what? We're both
December.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. We both only have a few months left here. So.
That's right. Posting work.
But I know here in Indiana, though, after the degree's done and we set the candidate west of the altar, we
lecture is always the question and answer.
Yeah, we had two guys, one ask, one answers, and
they sit there and watch, and then they're told when it's done. Now, you'll have a book that you'll get at the end of this degree. You'll have to memorize this in order to be proficient to your next degree.
And they go, I'll never remember that.
Yeah.
That's what I said, but I did it.
So that's one of those quirky little differences. Like, we do it just in a different manner than you guys do, but yeah, you guys kind of do the same thing.
Yeah, so. You usually have the candidate themselves prove themselves before they can be moved on to the next degree.
Right.
So, which is how we used to do it. They kind of got away from that now.
Yeah, I want to go ahead and point this out, and I've said this in only one other episode, and I don't know, we're 70 plus episodes into this, you know, this show, but I was so prepared to give this back. I studied with my grandfather. I studied with my dad. I studied. And I'm like, I'm ready to give this. I'm so ready. And then I took my fellow craft degree. And it's like, what about this? I just put like a month. I just spent a month learning that. Like, hey. And they're like, well, it's good that you know it. So now you can't forget it. I'm like, I was so frustrated.
I got lucky. They had an EA degree. Or after I got mine learned, my lodge had an EA degree. And I went up to it not knowing if I even could. And I walked in, and Harry Ebert, the secretary, was there. Hey, welcome here. Were you coming for the EA degree? He said, yeah. I said, I was wondering if I could do the work lecture. Now I'm ready to give it. And he goes, well, I think that'd be great. So they have a guy who's going to ask me the question. And this guy's wearing a purple apron.
Oh, no.
Big old neck.
Oh, no.
End up being like, back then, I think we had an area deputy grandmasters back then, and they changed everything after that. But so this guy, I'm already intimidated as I could be. As soon as he asked me the first question, my mind just shuts off. Done. Nope. Ain't no words coming out of this. And then he gave me the first word. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to talk here. And went through it with no problem after that. But I was lucky. I actually was able to give mine back. In open lodge, so that was kind of neat.
See, and I understand like why some jurisdictions have moved away from it, or like if you do one day conferrals, here in Wisconsin at least they at least still have to post their master mason after a one day conferral. But I truly think posting or proving up or whatever you want to call it is an important part of going through your degrees. It lays the foundation for if you're going to move through the officer line at like any point, it lays that foundation. It rebuilds your ability to memorize and remember that stuff.
Yeah.
And get you, you know, and it gives you more in-depth knowledge of all of it. And then when you're trying to learn the more complicated parts, you have this foundation already because you know you did these other parts already, you know. So right. you're slowly building to the point of being able to do long pieces of ritual. Yeah, and I think sometimes we rob our new members of that by telling them they don't have to do it.
Yeah. Well, I know in Indiana, you don't have to learn the crossfire anymore, the work lecture. But most lodges, they really push it for a guy to do that.
You see my air quotes, you know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
It's a working knowledge. And then I ask the deputy, the grand lecturer, well, define a working knowledge. And he did the air quotes back. He goes, that's up to each lodge. I was like, oh, so there's no general consensus. It's up to each lodge.
No.
It's a working knowledge.
Yeah, generally it's, you know, step, grip, and words, the only thing you really got to know. But most lodges, like, hey, you really need to learn this. This will help you out in the future. And most guys, they learn to, you know, get a really good working knowledge. If they learn, they learn for 5 minutes, and they give it back, and it's done. But
I'll tell you what, anybody who says they can't learn it or, you know, whatever, in my opinion, they're just not putting the time into it. Because right. When I told my wife there was memory work involved in this as I was going through my degree, she laughed in my face and said, you were never going to be able to do that.
Yeah, my dad.
I got something for that, Todd. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, my dad said the same thing to me. He's like, man, maybe we should take you through a one-day class, because I was kind of struggling at the very beginning of it. And I go, no, I'm going to get this. So I spent every night on his little workshop just walking back and forth. I think I smoked a pack of cigarettes a night back then. I was smoking still. But I would walk back and forth in there, and I would just work on that. And finally I got it down. And I was lucky enough to give it back. And did the Fellcraft Greed, did the same thing, but it was easier. Because I already had the cadence down on it, and I already kind of knew the structure of it, and then the master mason degree just came natural. So,
but and now 6 years later, I get, how is it that you can remember all that stuff for masonry, but you can't remember what I told you 5 minutes ago? So
I'm not listening to you, woman.
Oh, that's good stuff.
You don't give me what they give me.
So now, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the podcast, about Time for Refreshment. Time so I know fellowship. You, or Time for Fellowship. Sorry, I said refreshment. I was thinking that refreshment. My bad.
That's all right. You crossed two good podcasts together.
That's right. There you go. Hey, if I expect rights and fees for their collaboration, we'll Time for Refreshment. That's.
Hey, you got to anyway, talk to Chicago guys.
You know, generally this is cool because we don't. With the exception of talking to at least two people so far from At Refreshment, we haven't really talked to any other podcasters. So I'm generally curious, like, I mean, and there is no competition. It's Freemasonry. No, it's not like we're sitting here like, oh man, another one. Let's squish them like a bug. That doesn't happen.
Let's talk bad about them.
Like, So I'm generally curious, what kind of feedback have you guys gotten? You said you're about a year into this. You guys gaining a lot of traction? You had any big name guests, any shout outs? Like, what's going on? What's the health of the podcast looking like? I'm generally curious, and we want to help you guys if we can in any way. So let's talk about it a little bit.
You know, we haven't really had any big name guests. That's not something we've really strived for. We ran into difficulties with one guy that we thought was going to be a really good guest, but there was concerns about whether or not he actually wrote the substance he was going to come on our show and talk about.
So
we kind of passed on that one, but you know, we've been trying to interview local Masons and stuff like that. It's worked out really well for us. We've gotten a lot of compliments out of the state of Wisconsin, some compliments out of, I know you guys have shouted us out a couple times. Oh, yeah. At Refreshments shouted us out before. We were on the Third Degree Masonic podcast out of Ohio. Mm-hmm. We did an interview with them, which was a lot of fun, and we're planning on having them on the show here soon. You know, and the overall health of the podcast, I think, is going very well. I've tried to be less of a number guy than I was previously. My co-host likes to say the scoreboard will count itself. We just need to bring our personalities and our content.
That is fantastic. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but we are a little bit over 3,000 downloads now through like 50 episodes and almost a year in. So
that's great numbers. That's
really good numbers.
That means those are great numbers. That means your content, people are relating to your content. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know if we were there by then, were we?
No, I don't think we had that kind of traction yet.
Yeah. That's really good.
We're happy with it. We're really happy. We went into this just wanting to have fun, and it's been fun the whole way through. And, you know, we knew we were in a smaller market in Wisconsin. There's only about 8,000 Masons in Wisconsin. So,
wow, that's
more than that. Yeah. So we're, you know, we knew we were in a smaller market. Andrew never concerned himself with, you know, the numbers. I was looking at the numbers in the beginning going, oh my God, it took us a week to get 20 downloads. What the, you know, and now it's like, oh, we're getting like 50 downloads on episode release day. Like, all right, cool. You know, so it's one of those slow burn things. I feel like it takes a little bit to grow, and there's a lot of content out there and a lot of content creators. So just to be in the conversation with people that, you know, do this probably better than we do is a whole lot of fun. And we've enjoyed the community. I've really enjoyed seeing the Masonic podcast community come together and wanting to do more of these collaborations and wanting to help each other out and stuff. I liken it to, and I think Andrew, I'm probably stealing this from Andrew, honestly, he says the more intelligent stuff. But he likened it to comedians hopping on each other's podcasts all the time and how they're a totally supportive environment with doing it, all that. And I think we're starting to build that in the Masonic podcast community, which is really fun to see.
Well, the first time I heard about you guys, Todd told me about it. And then I went digging and I found you guys on Facebook, and I think we exchanged a couple comments on each other's stuff and talked about a collaboration. And then I started listening. And here's the thing, and I always, Todd and I like to cut up and we have fun, but one thing we always try to do is try to be as truthful and honest in every episode as possible. So here's the thing with me and Masonic podcasting. There are so many good ones out there to keep track of that there's so many to, like Todd, when we got here today at 12 o'clock, Todd said, have you seen the latest episode of At Refreshment? And I'm like, dude, I am 3 episodes behind on At Refreshment. Like there's so many to keep up. There's so many good. And I'm not saying anything bad about it. We're supportive of everyone's, but like the main ones that I hit in my rotation is At Refreshment. I love Brother Jim Hall with the Traveling Man.
I love a great one.
I love the first 3 knocks. I used to love the Masonic Ring. The Winding Staircase. Juan is great.
He's great, but
he gets very esoteric sometimes, where I have to just unplug and back away from a minute and try to wrap my head around. And I say that before, and I don't want people to ever think I'm talking bad about Brother Juan, because I wouldn't. I just, like, he really gets in there and it makes you think, and you have to like disconnect and come away and process. But then there's new ones, like, you know, I've got turned on to you guys, and so many other ones. The Working Tools podcast.
Working Tools, good, yep.
There's so many, and it just makes my heart happy to know that, you know, we can do these collaborations sort of, or talk to people of other podcasts like you and like the guys, some of the guys from At Refreshment, like Brother Jim, and that it's still at the end of the day, when we get a shout out from somebody, it makes Todd and I go like, wow, that was really awesome.
Well, like, I know the first time At Refreshment shouted us out.
Oh, well, we were like kids in a candy store. Yeah, we were like kids in a candy store. It's like, you sent me the video, like, dude, look at this. We got a shout out.
Yeah, I mean, and don't get me wrong, we're part of a very niche audience. Not everybody's going to see us or see any Masonic podcast. Only Masons are basically going to look for us.
Right.
But to have them who are, you know, they do the only video podcast out there, really. You know, they did some other ones, but they're the big dogs.
But we're on to something, because...
Yeah, but to have them shout us out was a huge compliment.
This show averages several hundred downloads a month.
Right.
Steel Toes and Scoreboards... Yeah. Like 20 downloads a month, because everybody's got a sports podcast.
Right.
Everybody's got a podcast about things they talk about during the production day on the production floor, which I don't even work in the factory anymore.
Yeah.
But not everybody's got a masonry podcast.
No.
So this one, to me, I'm more proud of this one than I am my other podcast. Mm-hmm. But just to this thing with Archer, like, I love when I hear, hey, there's a new Masonic podcast that started up, or hey, there's a new one. Like, oh, yeah, I just found out from you tonight, for the longest time, we were the only Masonic podcast in Indiana. Then there was a second one.
And they dropped out.
And then, once again, we were back to being the only one. And now you said there's another one that's only about an hour away from us.
Yeah, Masonic Nitwits.
So we're going to, you know, try to help them, push them and everything. There's no such thing as competition. We're all spreading the same thing with the same trowel, you know.
Like I say, you know, get on Facebook and talk about Freemasonry or TikTok or Twitter or whatever. I mean, it's not going to take away from my page if you talk about Freemasonry on your page. You know what I mean? If you have a good podcast, great. Somebody can listen to it. We have a good podcast. Someone's going to listen to it. Somebody might like ours better than yours. Somebody might like yours better than ours.
Can I give a personal shout out to Archer while he's here on the show with us?
I don't know if I can stop you.
Well, okay. So, you know, I kind of disappeared off TikTok for about 2 months or so. Mm-hmm. I'm slowly integrating my way back. I just needed a set, just a reset a little bit, because I was on there. I mean, you were the one that was on the TikTok side.
Right.
I wasn't. I had a TikTok account, but I didn't do Freemasonry. Then it got in and it consumed me. And as you said, right. It took over my life for like 5 months. Mm-hmm. So I backed away. Archer actually sent me a personal message on my Facebook page going, "Hey, bro, just checking in. You all right? Ain't seen you around."
Yeah.
That meant a lot to me. Thank you, Archer.
Yeah, no, of course. I was all of a sudden, I was like, wait, where the heck did Jared go? I ain't seen him on here in a while. And then I was thinking about it, you know. And I feel the same way when it comes to like some of the TikTok stuff. I do a lot. If I even do videos on my own account now, I do a posting ghost. I don't jump into anybody's live or anything like that. I just felt like at a certain point, it just became too much infighting between Masons, and it was just too, it was becoming un-Masonic to a certain extent. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to distance myself from all this, because I don't want to be wrapped up in any of that. I don't like the way it's going. I'm sure you guys saw it. I did one where I spoke my opinion on everything right. that was going yep. on.
Right.
And, you know, here's where I sit on this stuff. And, you know, you guys need to do better, because ultimately that's what we're supposed to do as Masons. Right.
Brother Badger, too. I love Badger to pieces. Badger was like, this is getting ridiculous. And Badger's always quiet. He never speaks up. So when Badger speaks up, it's time to listen.
And the people were fighting about, well, you just want to knock me down because I have more followers. I don't give a dang how many followers you have.
I could care less about that clout, man.
You know, I care about how many followers I have because I want to get out to more people. But I mean, if Brother Fluff has 70,000 followers, hey, great for him. He earned it. Or if whoever else, you know, some other people have, you know, they want more of it. Hey, get out there, put the work in and get it. I'm not going to stop you. You know, no one here is going to, you know, try to sabotage anybody. I don't think so. I'm definitely not going to try that, because it ain't going to do me any good either.
Did we just lose Archer? Archer, are you there? We just lost Archer.
Did you just hang up on him?
No.
How'd you know?
I don't know. Technical difficulty. Archer, we just lost you.
Yeah, I noticed. All of a sudden, I got the beep, beep, beep.
It was good. That was only like 15 seconds, so we didn't miss much. I don't know what happened. I picked up my phone. I'm like, we just lost Archer. I must have dropped the call. Sometimes the signal here at the Lodge building can be a little iffy sometimes.
Well, if you got AT&T.
Hey, man. Technology is only good when it works right.
That's right.
So, but no, but exactly right. And we don't clout chase.
No, I don't.
So I don't care. But Archer's right. We're all right. Things sometimes it's like, you know what? A reset from, I mean, I still post on Facebook, mm-hmm. but I just backed away from TikTok for a while.
Well, I look at it this way. If I could make a living off TikTok, yeah, I would do it.
Oh, well, yeah.
In a heartbeat. If I could
do, you don't have the face for it.
I don't have the face
for it. You don't have the face for it.
Or the body, or the feet, or the knees. But, I mean, if I could be a full-time content creator, man, that'd be great. I could just, you know, not sit around all day, but I mean, I could just have fun making stuff up.
I say this with all the honesty in the world to both of you. I would be terrible at being a millionaire because I could not. Honestly, yes, I am fat and I have a desk job. I work in TV and radio, but like I don't do the factory anymore. But I would be terrible at being a millionaire because there's only so long I could sit in the house doing nothing before I got bored. There's only so many episodes of Law and Order or Breaking Bad or Sons of Anarchy or whatever I could watch before I'd be like, oh, I have to go do something.
I'd give it a shot, though. I could try.
I would make it about 2 weeks, and that'd probably be the limit. I'd be...
Yeah, some people are like that, but...
Yeah.
You know, if I could be a full-time content creator, I think I'd be great. Just sit there and think of stuff to do and put on video or put on podcast. That'd be great.
I'm just saying,
but it's not paying the bills.
If the right opportunity would have presented itself, I'd be the one to be responsible for saying Hawk 2, and I'd be rich. You talk about opportunities. That was literally right place, right time.
Yes, it was, and right drinks.
God,
hey, she cashed in on it. You can't blame her.
No, yeah,
but
no.
Also she didn't sell out either, because she could have done OnlyFans. She could have been selling her undergarments. Because guys were wanting her to spit in jars, and they'd buy it from her.
That's just weird.
You know, and you're wanting to buy her underwear, stuff like that, but she wouldn't.
I don't know
that.
If we can say buy underwear on a Masonic podcast, but I'm rolling with it. We'll leave it in
for now. I listened to a podcast she was on. She's saying, yeah, I've had guys offer me $600-$700 for this stuff.
By the way.
And said, I won't do it.
Since you're talking about her, did you see the interview with her with Bill Maher?
Parts of it I did.
Okay. You know that Jay-Z song? She says the lyrics so wrong. Now I can't hear.
Oh, yeah.
So she's like, concrete jungle, wet dream tomato. Now when I hear that song and I hear Alicia Keys get to that part, I can't sing anything else but concrete jungle, wet dream tomato. She's ruined that song for me. And everybody listening to this that knows that song knows what I'm talking about. You can't unhear that now.
Yeah, but you talk about, so she did cash in. She's made over $1 million off that already.
Well, good for her, I guess.
And she did start a foundation for whatever she
cares about. For. She cares about critters and animals. Yeah,
so she did do something like that. So she is doing something good with it instead of selling out and just going for the money.
Right place, right time.
Exactly. Right. I mean, you got to spit on that.
Anyways.
First time I saw it, I'm like,
social media is truly an interesting place.
So,
right?
You know, that's a perfect segue, Archer, because one of the questions one of the questions we've been starting to ask a little more going towards last season and starting a lot this season, social media and Freemasonry, everybody seems to have an opinion on it. And there's no right or wrong opinion. We're generally just kind of taking a poll of the Masons we talk to. What do you think about social media and Freemason? Good, bad, helpful, not helpful?
Social media, in my opinion, to Freemasonry can be a useful tool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so my opinion on social media in general, as far as all of humanity is concerned, is that we've only had it for, it's only really been relevant in our lives for the last 15 to 20 years.
Yes.
Right? I remember when I first signed up for a Facebook account in 2005. Right? 4 or 5?
Something like that. Right. I had mine in 07.
You think, like, in the concept of time, this is a relatively new concept that all of humanity is trying to navigate. You see all the vitriol and everything else that occurs on social media, and you're like, what the heck are people doing here? You know? And it's kind of one of those things. It's like, all right, well, eventually the dust is going to settle and people are going to figure it out and maybe it'll get better. Maybe it is the worst thing to ever happen to humanity.
My boss,
my uncle,
your uncle, the general manager at the radio and TV station, he said an infamous quote in 2007, which I wasn't there yet, but I've heard about it. He said, social media and Facebook is a passing fad. It will be gone very soon.
That was MySpace.
No, he said it about Facebook, too. Because I was like, did Bill really say this? Bill goes, well, every once in a while I'm wrong. That's your uncle, my boss, by the way.
I always thought that MySpace was a better social media network to me. But then all of a sudden, Facebook blew up.
Tom didn't put any restrictions on us. And what happened? We didn't appreciate Tom.
That's right.
Now, I have to watch what I say because I have spent a lot of time in Zuckerberg Correctional Facility over the years. What gets me more than anything.
And Tom's a millionaire.
What gets me more than anything, if I spent more time in Zuckerberg Correctional Facility for things I found on the Zuckerberg app.
Right, yeah. Right. You know, to bring it back, though, as far as Freemasonry's place in social media, I actually think we can play a very important role in it. One, not only to kind of tell our story versus what all the conspiracy theories and stuff are out there, but two, to advertise our events, show our relevance in the communities, do all that kind of stuff. But three, as individual Masons, we can actually be the better example for everybody else on social media if we stay true to our Masonic tenets and we don't get caught up in the vitriol and we don't resort to all the dumb arguments and name calling and keep things civil. I think we could actually play a very important role in it if we live up to what we're supposed to be as Masons.
Right. Yeah. We'll stay out of don't let people lead you into arguments through ignorance, you know.
Right.
You know, that's the main thing I always you see your fluff get on there every once in a while, he'll be on lives and he'll finally get fed up with all the trolls. And he starts going off on them and stuff like that. And one, I wish you wouldn't have to go through that, because you put yourself out there to for the good, and people only want to bring up bad. But, you know, at the same time, don't let people, you know, make you – don't argue with people who don't know, because they're ignorant of what you know, but they think they know, you know?
Well, and even if you're going to – even if you're going to get into a quote-unquote argument or a discussion with somebody about a certain topic, make sure you keep yourself within due bounds and keep it civil, and don't bring yourself down to their level. Be the bigger person at the end of it, you know?
Well, we're always told, remember, when you wear that, if it's on your vehicle, if it's on your body, people are going to be looking for the worst thing to say about you.
Yep.
You know, don't give them that ammunition.
And I've had people get on – I've got on lives before, and they've been – opened up my own lives. So like, I have people saying, oh, you need to follow Jesus. Like, I do. Scroll on. I don't want to argue with you. Or, you know, oh, you need to be washed in the body or in the blood. Like, okay, whatever. I'm not starting this fight. We're here talking about something else. You know, it's just – it's not worth it to – because you're not going to change your mind. I mean, you can give them the facts, one fact after another, and they're going to call you a liar. Because they think they know more, and that's just their opinion.
Well,
and you're not going to change.
You're just not high enough. High enough.
You're not high enough. How much higher do I need to get? I mean,
right.
So, Archer, something you mentioned earlier, I want to touch on. So, with a little backstory for me and Todd, you talked about you do a lot of stuff with local Masons, and you keep it local. So, when we first launched in November of 2022. That whole first season was only like 14 or 15 episodes. And one thing that we did was most of those episodes that season, the majority were just you and I, Todd.
Yeah.
And then what we started doing is we said, let's change the formats and let's start interviewing people. And, you know, let's do a lot of local stuff, which we have. Mm-hmm. But we've also branched out and talked to Masons all across the globe. We talked to Otonka. We've talked to Masons in other states. Mm-hmm. The one of the things we wanted to do is we wanted to give Masons a chance to tell their story. Because when you're gone, your stories go with you. Mm-hmm. So, and here's a chance to tell that, because some people have incredible teachings. And one of the things that we found through that is a lot of people, and I guess I'm asking if you have this experience too, but one of the things we found is after we're done, a lot of people will thank us for, you know, giving this opportunity, and we don't hear nothing. And then, you know, their episode will drop within a couple of weeks, depending on where we post, date, release them and everything. And then we're getting thank yous, not only from them, but we're getting thank yous from their families. Like, hey, we appreciate this. You know, in the event that we lose, you know, grandpa or dad, we've got this voice recording out here. And the whole time, I guess it still baffles me that people thank us. The whole time, we're just like, we're not doing anything. We're literally talking Freemasonry. Like, we're not, but it's like a feel good moment. And it drives home at the end of the day, what the fraternity is about, which is service before self. And that's my opinion.
Right. No, that is totally awesome. And you guys have been doing great things with your show. And, you know, that's really cool to hear that you're getting that kind of feedback. And, well, we haven't gotten that particular feedback, you know, expressly. Some of the fun things we have encountered was, like, I happened to be visiting another lodge, and I introduced myself to this guy that was there visiting, thinking about petitioning the lodge. And as I was, like, after I introduced myself and was about to go talk to somebody else, he stopped me and he goes, wait, like, Matt from Time for Fellowship? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, you guys are part of the reason I'm here petitioning this lodge. So that was a really cool experience, you know, something that I never thought would happen or thought I would experience, you know. A question for you guys on the flip, and this is something Andrew and I have found interesting, is when you meet somebody new that you have no clue listens to the podcast, and it seems like they know everything about you already, even though you've been talking to them for 5 minutes, and then you have to realize that, oh yeah, that's right, I put myself out there, so they probably do know just about everything about me because they listen to the podcast. You know, that's another, like, one of those weird experiences, like, oh, this person's heard, like, my entire life story, but I don't know them from Adam. Like,
do you want to take that, or you want me to take that?
I had that down at Kentucky last year. The cave degree, the C.D. Ward cave degree. I was went down there by myself. I mean, I knew a couple other guys down there, but Jared had a wedding to go to, so I had to go by myself. And I was getting ready to eat lunch, in line to eat lunch, and I was talking to a guy, and he goes, "Hey, I know your voice." I go, "Okay." And my first instinct was like, "Do you watch porn?" But no, I didn't say that.
Oh my god!
And he goes, "Are you from At Refreshment?" I was wearing my At Refreshment shirt. I said, "Are you from At Refreshment?" I said, "No, I'm from that other Masonic podcast." He goes, "That's where I know you from." He said, "I listen to you every morning. I'm getting ready for work." I go, "You do? Well, hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate that." I talked to them for probably a good 10, 20 minutes about that, and they were telling me all this stuff and what episodes they liked and, you know, stuff. I'm like, "What? This is, I am not used to this at all." So it was pretty neat, though.
So for me, I get that twofold, because being on the radio and television, even though it's a small TV market, radio market's a little bigger than our TV market, but still, you know, I get that. But I also, the podcasting is what got me my job at the radio station. So I had this equipment for a year and a half when I met Todd, when I came back to Lodge after being gone for 8 years, and I met Todd. Todd overheard me say something about a podcast, and he goes, "You got podcasting equipment?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "We should start a podcast." And my famous words, he never lets me forget, I'm like, "Dude, nobody listens to Masonry podcasts." Boy, was I wrong, right? Boy, was I wrong.
I was like, "I listened
so
to him."
So he kept on it, and he kept on it, and I finally agreed to it. We did it, and then we exploded. And but I get that at the radio, too. The radio is what got me. So there was a woman. This is one of my favorite stories. This happened. I've been working in TV and radio for a little over a year now. Yep. And I was taking my kids. It was my weekend to have the kids. And we went to Walmart. And here come this sweet old woman in her 70s. Don't know who she was. And she said, "Hello, Mr. Atkins." And I just looked at her like, "I don't know this woman." She goes, "I want you to know," she goes, "I take a shower with you every morning." And then her face froze. She's like, "Oh, no, no, no. I mean, she goes, "I have a radio in the bathroom. You take a shower with me." "No, damn it. I mean, I listen to the news in the morning." And just, I could stop laughing. It was so weird, but it was so funny. And I said, "Well, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it." But as far as the podcast goes and that recognition, there's been times where Todd and I have went to degrees. And we stand up and we, you know how it is. You go around the room and then we say, Bethlehem Lodge 574 Birdseye. Oh, co-owners of Indiana's first Masonic podcast, that other Masonic podcast. And you'll see about two or three people go, they'll elbow somebody. And it's like, Todd's so. Like, they listen to our show. And then they'll go around the room and it gets them like, "Hey, we love your podcast, by the way. Congratulations to the newly obligated brother. Hey, by the way, we listen to your show. We love you guys." Yeah. So it's still weird.
It's very humbling too.
It is humble. Like, I everybody always thinks, because we don't ever really brag about it. We brag about other stuff just right. Because we're, you know, we're funny and that's us. But at the end of the day, that is a very humbling thing, because it's like, man, all we're really doing is sitting in front of a microphone talking about Freemasonry. We don't think we're changing the world. But when we hear people say, "Hey, we love you, we listen to you every morning, we listen to you every week, we can't wait for new content." That's like this summer. We took an extended break for the first time in show history. We were gone 3 months. And there's people asking, "Where's the content?" Todd's like, "That means we're on to something."
Yeah, I had guys, you know, on my personal Facebook page, "Hey, wait for our next episode. What are you guys waiting on?" I was like, "Oh, well, we're on hiatus."
Todd's like, "I'm ready to go, but Jared's burned out. He needs a little bit of a break. We'll be back in the fall." Like, so
in the last two weeks, I've been chomping the bit. Like, let's get something on. Let's just record anything. I don't care.
So,
well, and I think part of the thing that's been interesting is Andrew and I have run into scheduling conflicts here or there. Is we found like workarounds for it. Like, I'm either going somewhere or doing something and traveling a little bit, so I just take equipment with me and record there or whatever. And then, you know, if I have a spot where I haven't been able to record, Andrew will interview somebody on his own. And so we found a way to give each other breaks while still like delivering weekly episodes, which has been a lot of fun. Now I have a 3-year-old, and he's got a 9-month-old, I think, at this point, maybe 8-month-old.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, in the in the future, there may be more of that, like, extended season break type of deal. But for right now, we've managed to find workarounds for it. I think we've taken 1 week off. We didn't drop an episode between Christmas and New Year's last year.
Yeah, we did hammer out a couple before that.
So that's what we started doing. When we first started, the first four or five episodes we did, we were getting together every week, every weekend. Now, if I didn't have the kids, if it wasn't my weekend, we could meet whenever. If I had the kids, we'd have to meet that Sunday at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we did this 4 or 5 weeks in a row. And Todd's like, man, he goes, I got to stay home with mama. So it's like, well, what can we do? So then we came up with the bright idea. Well, let's just stack episodes. So what we've been doing now for almost 2 years is we will record either on Sundays when I don't have the kids, and we'll start depending on how episode heavy we are that day. We generally try to record 4 or 5 episodes at a time. We'll start at 12 or we'll start at 2, and then we don't have to get together for a month. If schedules are tight and we have to record on a weekend when I have the kids, well, the kids go back at 6 o'clock. We meet at 6:30, and we usually hit two or three episodes. We try to get something, we make it work, but we just couldn't make it work every week.
Weekly is very hard.
It was too time consuming. You know, when we started, I was still working two jobs, and I can't make this because I have no time for
my daughter's involved in every sport,
softball, volleyball. He talked to his wife, and we worked out a schedule, and we're like, let's do it this way. So then, like today, we recorded, you know, breaking the fourth wall, which I love to do. This is our fifth episode of the day, so we don't really have to get together for a month again, you know?
Right. And we thought about doing that initially, but then we decided we wanted to add that whole news and events segment plug, like, news
I love
from
that.
Wisconsin. And
I love that, by the way. I love that, by the way. That's phenomenal.
So, yeah, we could, but... It's by the time some of my people listen to it, it's already passed, you know.
We've tried that in the past.
Well, and that's what kind of locks us into recording like once a week, you know, is the fact that we are doing those segments, you know. If we were to move away from those segments, it would be much more viable for us to bank episodes, you know. But with our current format, you know, and who knows, maybe things will change in the future and we'll kind of back away from that a little bit, but under the current format, we pretty much have to get together all the time.
See, we never really did a current events thing on ours.
We would talk about things, but they would pass.
Just talk about just Freemasonry in general, and you know, we didn't so much talk about local stuff, but you know, we talk about, hey, there's going to be a special degree or the cave degree in Kentucky going on, and one in Tennessee's coming up, or something like that. Yeah. We never.
Oh, dude, that one in Tennessee is so much fun, man. That Tennessee cave degree. I was just down there like a month ago again for the second time. And I just have a blast down there.
Yeah, I need to go next year on that. But it seems like it's always comes up on a weekend. My daughter got a softball tournament, or we have to go someplace for family or something like that. So
I'm missing next year because we're going out to Sturgis, which is, you know, also in August.
Yeah.
Sturgis
we'll
in August,
in
baby.
26. So.
You go by Deadwood Lodge up there.
So, Archer, another thing I wanted to bring up, and here's a question that we don't always ask every episode. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we just don't think it feasible. But for all your talk about, you know, you guys are really about local Wisconsin masonry. So here's a question, and I generally phrase this by saying, you know, generally a lot of us as Masons try to avoid the spotlight because we're not clout chasers. And generally because of that, there's some really great Masons who go unmentioned and unnoticed for the things that they do and the way they mentor and teach. So what I'm asking you is, you know, especially since you guys are local, this is going to be a chance for you to kind of give a local plug. Like, who have been some of the biggest inspirations and some of the mentors to you throughout your journey in masonry? Who are the guys, some of the guys that, you know, again, not to leave anybody out, but like, who comes to mind, like, man, this person's really helped me. I owe a lot to this person.
That's a pretty extensive list. I've had a lot of really good mentors ahead of me and through the craft, and thankfully, like, three of them I would consider probably three of my best friends. Andrew came in right after me, so he's unfortunately not going to be on the list. but brothers, and they're brother brothers. So brothers, worshipful brothers, Jason and Grant Walden, who are both biologically related and both past masters of my lodge. In fact, the two past masters right behind me, or right in front of me, right before me, however you want to say it. Jeez, I'm losing my words here. And you know, they've been two big influences on my Masonic career. Jason was actually my senior deacon through all three of my degrees. So, as you guys know, you kind of have a special bond with that person, right? Oh, yeah. So that's kind of developed into a great relationship. And then worshipful brother Jeff Teeley, who is the one that brought me into the fraternity. He's currently senior grand deacon of the state of Wisconsin as well. Oh, wow. We're very proud of him. He's one of my best friends. He's been a huge mentor and ally. He's also one of the co-founders of the Low 12 Masonic Riders Association that we started. It was myself, him, and most worshipful Mike DeWolf, who's the current grand secretary and past grand master of state of Wisconsin. The three of us started that. Mike's been another mentor. Worshipful brother John Falk, Jeremy Hilgendorf, Bill Reed. These were all guys that came before me and were very welcoming, were in the line, brought me into the line, and just have had a huge influence on my Masonic career. Worshipful brother Brad Bingheim, he's phenomenal, and he's actually the highest ranking male in Job's Daughters International right now.
Oh, wow.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
We do a lot with Job's Daughters. Well, let me clarify. We've made it a point for the last 2 years, and going forward, that's going to be a thing we do every year. And they
at Founders Day,
at Founders Day, and every January in Indiana, we sit down with Rainbow, Job's Daughters, and DMLA. And what I tell you, that the parents and the adults behind these organizations thank us and love us, and they're so appreciative, and we're like, hey, without these youth organizations coming up and the things they're teaching, there is no fraternity. There is no Eastern Star without these, right, without Rainbow, without Job's, without DMLA. So we've made it a point to sit down with them every year. And we're going to try this year to actually sit down with the adults in these organizations and get a little more story, because there needs to be more Bethels and there needs to be more DMLA chapters and I can't stress that enough, and that is a mission for me, not as the master of my lodge, not as somebody with a podcast, just as somebody as a Mason. There needs to be more of these organizations and more attention driven to these youth organizations.
Absolutely.
I would agree wholeheartedly. We've had a couple different we've had Ryan Teeley, who is the – no, he's not a kid anymore, but was a kid I spoke of that I worked with on the show a couple of times. We had a state master counselor on the show from DMLA. We haven't gotten anybody on from Job's Daughters yet, but that is definitely on the list. We really do love our youth groups, and, you know, I think they do great work. And, you know, just the leadership skills and everything that you can see developing in these young kids and their public speaking abilities, which, man, I wish I would have had something like that when I was their age, because I was definitely afraid of public speaking for the longest time.
I hate speaking in front of anybody.
Well, some of these girls with Job's Daughters and Rainbow, they friended us on Facebook. They've sent you, that not only do they follow the podcast, but they've sent you and I friend requests. Yep. And we look, and they're gone doing stuff every weekend. Oh, and then you see them up there, their parents are posting pictures on the social media. They're up there in a podium, and you look out, and there's 200 people in this crowd. And they're like, you're taking 15-year-old girls there, or 15-year-old boy, and you're making them speak to 200 people, like, and they don't look like they're fazed by anything.
No, they're just stone cold killers, really.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
I mean, they're as confident as anybody. That's all comes from their upbringing through their Bethels, their chapters, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know much about Rainbow girls, because we just have DMLA and Job's in Wisconsin. We don't have
Rainbow's
any,
not in every state.
Rainbow's though. Yeah. Neither is Job's, actually. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. There's a couple states that don't have Job's Daughters. So, you know, it's kind of a mix, you know, between that kind of stuff. So, you know, just like jurisdictional differences in Masonry, there's differences in youth groups, I guess.
Right,
so.
Yeah. But yeah, it's amazing. We talked to what's the D-Blake kid's name?
Owen Vermillion.
Owen Vermillion.
His dad's a big wig with D Malay in Indiana. Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the senior master counselors.
Something like that. Yeah, I can't remember the title, but he's a big
Owen
dog.
Owen was like the state master counselor for D Malay this year, and a kid who, you know, sitting in between our two honking.
Yeah, adults, and he's sitting there carrying on a conversation and, like nothing.
Yeah, it's like he is so poised and so, you know, professional. I was like, this kid's intimidating me.
He kept calling us Dad Whaley and Dad Atkins. He's yeah. such a funny kid.
What's your mom look like? Who's your mom again?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, these kids, they're amazing, and you know what they've accomplished in their short amount of time is nothing short of amazing to me.
I just thought of this. And I can't remember. Did we ask Archer if he's involved in any other appendant bodies?
No, we haven't.
Archer, are you involved in anything else? You seem like you got your hands full with the podcast and Blue Lodge, but you kind of seem like you're a guy that's probably involved in appendant bodies.
He's in the Widow Sons. You said that already.
No, not Widow Sons, actually. So I'm gonna minor correction. So I'm part of the only chapter currently in existence of the Low 12 Masonic Riders organization. I'm one of the co-founders of that. We started it 4 years ago, going on five here in the spring. That was an interesting journey, but we're about to get a second chapter, hopefully here in Western Wisconsin.
I love that.
How is that different from the Widow Sons?
So the Widow Sons chapter in Wisconsin wasn't very active. So okay. We kind of decided we were going to just kind of do our own thing, and we take a little more of a relaxed look at it than they do. Like, we don't do like a degree or anything for it. We just kind of, you know, it started out as a bunch of guys that wanted to, you know, wear a Masonic patch and ride, and we formulated a bunch of bylaws around it and stuff like that. And, you know, you can think of it like more like Hog is to Harley is what okay. we are to Masonry. Ooh. You know, we're just trying to be more relaxed, like, that just one single patch and just kind of chill out. And we try to do, you know, attend charity rides and do stuff like that and just okay. be visible. So, and then I'm also in the Scottish Rite. I am a 32nd degree Scottish Rite Mason, chapter council and commandery. And I am a member of the Shrine.
Okay.
So another Mason with his hands full.
Yeah. No grotto.
Yeah. I'm not really active in any of the appendant bodies except for Low 12 because my Blue Lodge comes first. And yep. I said I wouldn't really be active in any of those until I got through the East because Lake Lodge is the largest and probably busiest lodge in the state of Wisconsin. That happens to be where I'm worshipful master right now. So I had a lot on my plate this year with that.
Oh, bad.
And big shoes to fill of all the guys that came before me. So.
Oh, yeah, I got it right. That's nature.
Yep.
So, you know, I was thinking about that Low 12. I love that. That's well, that also fascinates me because it's just kind of a cheap little plug because 90% of our episodes over the last 2 years are released at Low 12.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just what I do.
It's released at midnight.
Yeah, it's released at midnight. Yeah. Every Monday.
That's the best time to launch them, honestly, because then
everybody's got them for their morning commute, you know.
Yep. They take a couple hours to get on all the different platforms, and then boom, yeah, they're there in time for everybody's morning. So, yeah.
That does work out nicely. That's true. So this is you guys only do 1 year in the East of Wisconsin?
Yep. One year in the East, unless for some reason, you know, if something weird were to happen, you can serve consecutive if elected, if you need to, but for the most part, we try to keep it as 1 year. And I'm actually, our lodge found ourselves in the situation where our junior deacon is unfortunately stepping out of line after this year. So my adventure's not quite over yet because I'm going back into the line as senior deacon next year. Oh. And I'm going to run it all the way through the East again. So
I was gonna say we normally serve
we've
started letting everybody serve 2 years because 1 year I think to myself 1 year is just not enough to get everything done that you want to try or get done. It's me.
And I think the trick is to that is to if you have a good worshipful master that's serving the year right before you is to start implementing some of that stuff you want to do your senior warden year already.
Right.
You know, not just planning, but starting to get some of that stuff you want to do up and running and off the ground so that you can start maybe at least being set up to accomplish them early in the year or have already accomplished them before you even get there. And I think that's a good way to kind of stretch your year, as long as you have a worshipful master that's cool with you doing that. And I right. thankfully did. I started kind of incorporating some of the stuff I wanted to start doing into his year a little bit towards the end, so that it was already kind of up and going in time for my year, you know.
Well, what are some of the things you've done this year that you have done in the previous years?
We have been busy. We'll start there. We had 17 events on the calendar this year.
Oh, wow.
Which was a little lofty while we were trying to do the Traveling Lodge Award. So in Wisconsin, especially in District 12 here, we have 15 lodges total, including my own. And so if you visit all 14 of the other lodges in a 12-month period, you get what we call the Traveling Apron Award.
Oh, wow.
Right, if you do that as an individual. And then we have a Traveling Lodge Award, which is if one of the primaries and two other members all go and visit all other 14 lodges together. Like, and it can be different people each time. That's why it's a Traveling Lodge. You can work as a team on it.
Right.
As long as it's one primary has to be at every one of them, then you get the Traveling Lodge Award. So we have one more lodge to visit. We'll have completed that this year. We did our open house for the second year in a row, which was one of the things I started last year, where I actually got a committee together. We have another Blue Lodge that meets in our building, an OES chapter that meets in our building, all three bodies of the York Rite that meet in our building.
Oh, wow.
Plus we have Bethel that meets in our building, and Order of True Kindred that meets in our building. So, except for the Bethel, because I wasn't going to make a youth group pitch in any money. I just wanted the girls there and the boys from DMLA there to promote their stuff. We all pitched in volunteers and money into a pool, and we did a building-wide open house that we advertised to the public and everything. It was a huge success last year. There is a number of people that were interested in Blue Lodge and stuff like that. The York Rite got petitions. Job Daughters got some members out of it. DeMolay got members out of it. Everybody succeeded. And so we decided to continue it under that same format again this year. And we had about 150 people filter through the door that night. 7 to 9 people interested in Freemasonry. York Rite got some petitions. Job Daughters got 2 plus a potential. DeMolay got some potentials. So it was really successful again. So we're hoping to continue to grow that event in the future. You know, we get like a bouncy house, free food. We have yard games out. We do all that kind of stuff. And, you know, tours of the building and, you know, whatever. So that's been really good. That's probably one of the things I'm more proud of that has developed over, you know, 2 years.
Remind me of the bouncy house at the next meeting.
Okay.
Or remind me that.
we'll get Skinner out there jumping up.
Okay,
down,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You had 90-year-old man out there bouncing in a bouncy house.
And then, you know, we've stuck with our staple events like our Burns dinner and our spring soup and chili night, and we're doing our fall spooketti, past masters and widows dinners, all that stuff that we have always done, but then we added in like Fifth Thursday social nights, and so we went to like Lux Golf, which is like Top Golf one time. We went and met with another lodge for one of their social nights. What else? Oh, I had the building open every Thursday. Since we own the building, we have Thursday nights reserved for us. So rather than, you know, if we didn't have anything going on, just the building would be closed and dead, I opened it up so that every Thursday, you know, if it was just sit there and chit-chatting or having people do the Wisconsin Masonic Code Correspondence course or studying for an upcoming degree or practicing or whatever, the building was always open, so there's always something going on there every Thursday. And that worked out really well. I think that brought us all, like, closer together, and we got to do some fun stuff in there. And then we've also, so far this year, well, in mid-October, by the time mid-October rolls around, we will have conferred 11 degrees this year.
Oh, wow.
So
Congratulations, yeah, Matt. That's fantastic. In 1 year.
We've been cranking them out. So four of those will have been Master Mason degrees, and then the other seven will have been other ones. So we've been working hard this year, and I really appreciate my team. It's all them that did it. I was just kind of guiding the ship. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they're really the heavy lifters, and I couldn't have done it without them. So
fantastic.
That's awesome right there.
All right. Well, Todd,
I think it's time to ask the question.
So time to start wrapping it up and let Archer get back to mama. I know you got to get back to mama.
Yep.
I got to get back to my empty single wide palace. So you know, I don't have the kids this weekend. So it's just me. And I think what it is I'm in the middle of rewatching Breaking Bad.
For what?
For the millionth time. Because hey, the top five shows in TV history, in my opinion, it goes Breaking Bad, Sopranos. Sopranos finally topped Sons of Anarchy because I finished Sopranos finally. So it goes Breaking Bad, Sopranos, Sons of Anarchy, The Walking Dead. And then the fifth one's really interchangeable because there's a lot of good shows I can put in there. Like, you know, I love watching Dr. House. I like Better Call Saul. The Shield was a good one. Here's one, a comedy, Home Improvement.
Improvement's great.
Also Law and Order. I mean, there's... but anyways, so that's what I have to get home to, and food too. You know, I'm hungry. So, you know what? We're talking about Wisconsin. You know what I want now?
Cheese curds.
Archer, hold on. Before we ask the question. Sidebar. Mm-hmm. Sidebar. So, you live in Milwaukee. You said that's about 2 hours from Green Bay. Yep. But you've heard of Waupaca County, or as we say in Tell City, Indiana, because they had a plant, Waupaca. I did 10 years working at Waupaca Foundry.
Poor guy.
So in 2014, I went up for a 6S safety Kaizen blitz, and I went to plant one in Waupaca County, in Waupaca, Wisconsin. And we left. We flew out of a place an hour away from here called Owensboro, Kentucky. We took off. It was 97 degrees, and the humidity was unbearable. We touched down the end of August. It was 70-something degrees that whole week, clear blue. I've never seen a sky that blue in my life. And then I got hit with the, you should come back in February, oh.
Nope.
So, yeah, they're like, we drive snowmobiles to the parking lot in the winter. I'm like, nuh-uh. I went inside. They showed me pictures of the parking lot with snowmobiles sitting in it in January and February. I'm like, wow, really? You guys really do? But my favorite thing, and I'm sure you'll agree and Todd will agree, when I go somewhere out of town on a business trip or a vacation, I try not to eat national chain stuff because you can get that anywhere. I like to eat everything local as much as I can.
Yep.
Well, we went to a place called the Harbor or something. It's set on a lake called Clearwater Lake or Taylor Lake or some sort of lake. I don't remember what it was called. This was the first time I had spotted cat. Let me tell you the story about this. So shout out New Glarus Brewing. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So we were sitting there in the bar that night, and I ordered me a steak, and I love a good ribeye. I mean, if it's still mooing on the plate, I'm happy when they bring it to me. So I had one of the most delicious steaks. But the whole time I'm sitting there at the bar, we're all eating, every so often, every few minutes, I hear moo, moo. And I'm like, man, is the cow really back? Are they really cutting it fresh, you know? So finally, after like an hour, I had enough. And the waitress came by, and I was drinking Busch Light. Thank God you rednecks in Wisconsin appreciate us Indiana rednecks, because I could still get Busch Light in Wisconsin. So I was happy about that.
Yeah, Busch Latte.
But I was like, what is mooing? And she goes, oh, Spotted Cow, eh? New Glarus Brewing, eh? Famous line. She goes, best beer ever made, eh? I was like, and I was like, okay. And she goes, hold on. She came back. She gave me a tall boy. She said, on the house. And she pointed over there. And what it was they had it on tap. Because I guess in Wisconsin, you guys appreciate a good beer. So you have it on tap at a lot of these places. The tap head was in the shape of a cow. And when she, and I don't know how they rigged this up.
Pulled it.
But when they pulled the tap head down, the cow mooed. That's what I was hearing all night.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And I had that. I took a drink of that, and it was like literally a smile on my face. And I was like, this is the best beer I've ever had in my life.
I've heard a lot of people say, I never had it.
Oh, my God, Todd. It is the greatest beer I've ever had in my life. Spotted Cow. I spent almost $40 to bring an 18-pack of long necks back home from Wisconsin on the plane to Indiana.
Damn.
We was on a private jet, and I was like, I'm loading up before we leave. Almost $40 for an 18-pack.
Yeah.
But it was worth
it. We are very proud of Spotted Cow. However, I am jealous of the fact that you guys can get Yingling and we cannot.
Yeah. Oh, I love Yingling.
I think that's changing.
But I like Yingling Light better.
Yingling. Oh, man, that's some good stuff, too. But I love the Spotted Cow. For every brother listening to this that does not know what I'm talking about, Google Spotted Cow, read the reviews, find a way to get to Wisconsin and get you some Spotted Cow.
Yeah, everybody loves it. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is. It is the best tasting beer I've ever had in my life.
Well, I know something we need to do. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They use corn. They use corn when they're making it.
Maybe that's what it is.
Got a bite to it.
That totally changes the complexity of it.
I bet.
I don't know how much of a quantity they use of it, but that's the secret to Spotted Cow. Mm. At least that's what I've been told. So.
Nice.
All right. So let's ask him the question. I had to share the Spotted Cow story. I love Wisconsin. So, Archer, as you know, you said you guys checked out the show, so we usually end on this big question. So, and there's never a right or wrong answer. So when you lay down your working tools, because why, Todd?
No one gets out alive.
We all got to lay them down eventually and go to that celestial lodge above. When people think back on you, not necessarily as a man, but more just as your Masonic lifeblood and your Masonic journey and your time as a Mason, what do you hope your legacy was? What do you hope your lasting impact to the fraternity will be?
So one of my big talking points is always to be training your replacement. And I think that's especially important with leadership. And I think you need to not train somebody to just follow and hope that even after you're out of your position of authority that they'll kind of do what you wanted them to do or whatever, but to think for themselves and be able to lead for themselves. And whether my name's associated with it or not, I don't care. I just hope that I have some small role in building the future leaders of the fraternity that will be strong, solid leaders and can stand on their own two feet and do what needs to be done.
That's awesome.
That's a great answer. You know, earlier this season, we opened the season, I should say, with the sitting Grand Master for the state of Indiana, and he said his favorite part about our show generally was this question.
The question,
and he loved all the answers. He said, because there's never a wrong answer.
Nope.
And that was well put, Matt. That was fantastic. I don't care if my name's attached to it or not. No. I just want to help build the future.
Well, I know something we need to do. We need to get together with all these Midwestern podcasts and have a little
podcast convention there for all these Masonry podcasts.
We all meet in Chicago. That'd be a lot of fun. Like
that. Oh man, we'd get kicked out, especially if we got the at refreshment boys there. Party Marty is aptly named, buddy.
He is. I think that'd be awesome.
I have a funny story about at refreshment to add in real quick.
What's that?
I happened to be at the zoo a week or two ago with my daughter and my wife, and I was wearing a Freemasonry hat, and I had a brother come up to me and introduce himself, and I asked him what lodge he was from, and he said Villa Park, and I didn't think anything of it, right? And we crossed paths again a little bit later on, and I was like, hey, so my name's Matt, you know, and he goes, oh, I'm Yoshi, and I went, hold up. From at refreshment?
Yoshi? I love Yoshi.
Yeah, Yoshi's a good dude. We met all those guys at
We met him at the Oklahoma degree last summer.
In the Masonic degree team, yeah. We met all they did. We did an episode down there, and they did an episode two and everything. And finally got to meet those guys, hang out with them. And it was great. I mean, they're everything you'd want and more to hang out with and everything. So, but they have been talking about doing an expo or something like that in Chicago. And
they want all of them. They do. They're like, if we could get a lot of the Masonic podcasters together,
that'd be awesome.
That would be so fun.
Do a big old collab.
I think that would be a lot of fun, but the rule would have to be after the day's over, the mics get turned off.
Well, we tried that, too. We had to delete that episode.
So, funny story. We get to Illinois for that Oklahoma Masonic Indian degree in June of last year.
Yeah.
And my phone rings, and it's Party Marty. And they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, me, Todd, and our honorary third co-host, John, we're sitting in the hotel room. We were going to break out the recording equipment and just, you know, kind of maybe just do a Masonic Lost episode or something where it's just like we're just kind of
after dark.
Just hanging out. We had to delete that episode because Marty, Mark, Yoshi,
and us. It wasn't just them. It was us too.
No, it was it was all of us. It got crazy, and it got out of hand. Yeah. And we
talked for about an hour.
We talked for about an hour, and then at the end, after the phones are off, Todd looked at me and he goes, "You're gonna have to delete that." I said, "I don't want to." Todd goes, let me see the recording equipment. Todd's like, I'll do it. He goes, we can't put that out there.
Oh, God.
He goes, honorary third.
It wasn't anything racist.
No, it wasn't racist. It was just
a lot of cursing.
There was a lot of provocative language, and there was a lot of yelling, and it was distorting the audio. John's like, we can't put that out. He's like, we can't put that out. Yes. So, but the funny part is, we all get to the degree, and Wes or Mark one looked at us like, you guys didn't release that, did you? Like, no. No, it got deleted. Marty's like, oh, thank God.
We would have got canceled for that.
So that let us know right then, if we ever get together in person with them guys, the mics have to be off.
We have to start drinking after the mics
are off. After the mics are turned off.
Exactly.
Archer, if you wouldn't mind one more time to introduce yourself and run through your Masonic title for our listeners.
All right, so name's Matt. I also go by Archer Mason on TikTok. I am the co-host of Time for Fellowship, currently Worshipful Master at Lake Lodge 189. And you can find Time for Fellowship with Matt and Andrew anywhere you listen to podcasts, on TikTok and all other socials as well.
Awesome. Hey, man, this was fantastic. We so much appreciate your time this evening. It was fantastic. Yep. We loved it. This was a great episode.
Yeah, if you ever need anybody on, let us know. We'll be happy to come on the show.
Todd'll be a good interview by himself, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure. For sure. We gotta get you guys on the show, and thank you very much for having me on. It was an honor. I love what you guys are doing with the show. I really do. You guys are in my regular rotation. I'm a podcast junkie because I work by myself all day. I'm usually driving around and throwing Little Debbie on the shelves at stores. So
I was going to ask if you were working in a vending machine or what you're doing, because I'm like, my dad took a break from the factory for about 4 or 5 years, and he worked vending before he went back to the factory. And I'm like, I see him back in the truck. I'm like, I know he's getting stuff ready to go in a vending machine or something. I was going to ask you what you were doing.
See, I do love some Little Debbie's. She's the best.
We are full service, so delivered all the stores and gas stations and everything else. So, you know, I don't just write the order. I take it all in, throw it all on the shelf. So that's why on those TikToks for the podcast, you guys see me pulling orders in the back of the truck. So.
That's what it is.
Yep.
All right. Well, Archer, thank you so much for your time, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys, and we'll have to definitely coordinate something to get you guys on ours sometime soon.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
You guys have a good night.
You too. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What
a great episode.
A season.
So far. Now we got to have his buddy on next.
Yeah, breaking the fourth wall. This is... It is 9:30 at night.
Oh shit!
And we got here at 12 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah, so
nine and a half hours.
We did all right.
Five episodes, fantastic. Breaking the wall. Don't quite know what order these are getting released in.
Yeah, it'll be
all right. Other than the first episode of the season, which everybody's already heard this by now.
By now, yeah.
But anyways, this has been fantastic.
Glad to finally be back at it.
Glad to be. Are you happy?
Yes, I am.
You said you were ready to record.
Yep.
I was ready for a break. And then today I pushed it. You were ready to go home 2 hours ago. I said, why don't we throw one more episode in?
Hey, I was all down about it. Like, I could have went home or I could have done one more.
That's right.
Don't matter.
Now, I don't quite know what's in store after this. We'll have to start plotting and planning and making connections.
I got some ideas.
And, we're gonna have to hit the road some this year.
Yeah, I know. Our next recording session will probably be October.
It'll be somewhere in October.
Yep.
We'll have to stack that one good because your October's busy, your November's busy, holidays are coming.
November's not so bad. October's pretty stacked up right now.
So But anyways, this is where we're going to cap it tonight. Season 5 of That Other Masonic Podcast is here now.
Season 5.
Season 4. That's a callback to when I did the season 3. Yeah. Everybody's like, well, he's an idiot.
Yeah, they know it.
Did you, by the happenstance, post our new logo on social media?
I did. I put it on our
Shout out
page.
To the Grand Senior Warden for the state of Indiana.
That is awesome.
John Bridegroom, who would not accept a dime for that logo.
So if you get a chance, shout out this company, The Master Craft.
Shout out John
Master's
Bridegroom.
Master's Craft.
The Master's Craft, yeah.
.net.
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 .net. TheMaster'sCraft.net. John Bridegroom, thank you for the beautiful new logo.
Oh, I love it.
That's right. It's so simplistic, yet sleek and efficient looking.
I will take it a whole other direction. He surprised me, and I loved it.
Yeah, I was too, and I was like, this works. This is great. It beats the paint shop thing we've had for 2 years now. Yeah, hey, yeah. I put a lot of editing into that,
by the way. Oh, I know. It's great, but now I got to go get another poster made.
Yes, we do.
Probably get some on vinyl this time.
Yes, we do. So that's it for this evening. So for Brother Todd.
And for Brother Jared, yeah. Sorry,
yeah,
but I was looking at like five names here. I was totally, I almost said Brother John. And that's not it.
This has been another episode of That Other Masonic Podcast, and we will see you guys soon.
Peace.